Sharon. What's on your mind?
Yes, doctor. I'm Dr. Peirce's patient, and I've enjoyed a lot of advantages there. But I remember an article you wrote in a magazine over a year ago about not drinking water before you eat or during if you're trying to lose weight, because too much water dilutes the acid in the stomach and would interfere with the digestion system. And so what would you recommend? Like, I feel like I'm torn between a rock and a hard place to take my vitamin supplements that say with a meal and not overdose. I suppose you just have to go very sparingly when you drink water and try to get your supplements down, or how much and when?
Okay, all this depends on whether a person has normal stomach acid. Now, the other side of the research from the Mayo Clinic that found that 50% of us, by the time we had get to be 60, have low stomach acid, is the other 50 did not. And the people who do not have low stomach acid, they have that 50% by age 60, don't have to worry about this, because the stomach will just keep making acid until it brings the pH, that's the acid-alkaline balance, down to number 2. pH is, in fact, in steps, it's tenfold. 1 and then 10 times that is called 2, and 10 times that is called 3, and so forth. So stomach acid at the end of a meal should be at a pH of 2 for humans. Now, it's true that for vultures it should be 1, but very few of us, except for maybe a few politicians, are vultures. And so we should be down to pH 2. But if we've got a fully functional stomach, our stomachs can do that regardless of how much water we put down there. It's the people with low stomach acid who have to worry. So let's say that you've had your stomach tested and you found out, oh my goodness, I happen to have low stomach acid. In that case, then you're quite right. You just have to sip on it, just use a little, because otherwise the stomach won't be able to fully acidify everything and completely digest everything. But you kind of got to know whether you got low stomach acid or not, ma'am.
Oh, okay. I don't think I do, and so I guess that's not so much of an issue with me, and I've never had it tested, but thank you. So it's pretty much 50% people do, and that's maybe one of those.
Yes, that's from Dr. Nancy Van Zandt from Mayo Clinic, 1932. Mm-hmm. And okay. She supervised the testing of 3,400 people.
And if I could ask one more quick question, is what? I've heard people say it's good to take a little sip of wine with your meal, but then I've read also that wines can delete some of your B vitamins. So, and if you have a lazy thyroid, wouldn't that interfere with that? Wouldn't I be better off doing something else?
Well, it's hard to say, ma'am. Wine to excess will interfere with a whole bunch of things. Small amounts of wine, though, shouldn't hurt with a thyroid condition. What's a small amount? Well, funny thing, but our ancestors apparently had about the same average IQ points as we did. And doctors, and here's another perspective on it, doctors, a lot of them like to drink alcohol. So they've done research on how much wine is too much. And guess what they found out? That the amount of wine contained in a wine glass, the amount of beer contained in a beer stein, and the amount of hard liquor found in a shot glass is the maximum. And past that, it's bad for your health. So how did our ancestors figure out the size of shot glasses and beer steins and wine glasses? Who knows? But some formal research has found that if we stay within those limits, it's not bad for us.
Oh, okay. Thank you. And that's along with food, of course.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much, doctor.
Well, you're welcome, and thank you for calling. And now it's time for me to shut up and go to our break.